Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright, the Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come. Wait,
and welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast and another 2021 Rookie Player Profile. Swags at Swagzilla0G and Dave Wright at FF underscore Spaceman, and of course myself, have been bringing you three of these rookie profiles every single week since February. And we ain't stopping until the NFL draft gets here. I'm Mike the Feverish Fanero, and this week I have a very special guest, Travis May, host of the College to Canton podcast. Find his work at rotoviz.com. And if you're having trouble tracking down these rookies and what they're doing on the pro days, just check out his pin tweet at FF underscore Travis M. Travis, how you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. I'm really going to be happy when all the pro days are done. They're almost done. We're almost there, right? It's like we're in the last week. We're in the home stretch. Like we got like, and the programs remaining, like nobody even cares about anyway. It's like Houston and UAB. So I'm like trying to play catch up like tonight and tomorrow, just making sure I've got all this stuff done for RotoViz on the pro day tracking. And then I dive into spreadsheets and try to get some more stuff done for the rookie guide that we'll be having coming out. The second version of the rookie guide will be coming out here shortly too. So yeah,
oh, nice.
Plenty of rookie talk still to be had.
Sounds like you're damn busy too, for sure.
Staying that way, man. This is third show tonight, but I love it. It's that time of year, you know?
Well, Travis, you ready to get damn busy on this rookie profile?
Let's do it, man. Let's dive in.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
I would say at least half the audience, if not every single person, has seen the title and has seen the player that you picked. But if you wouldn't mind telling the listeners, in case they didn't see the title, who did you pick and why?
Yeah, so if you just blindly click on podcast without reading the title, we're going to be talking about Jalen Waddle, Alabama wide receiver, God's gift to the football field, if depending on who you talk to.
Yes.
But yeah, so it should be a lot of fun, man. He's such a weird unicorn of a prospect, but everyone kind of feels like we just talked about this before we even started recording, but they all use like the same three comps and the same three cliches to talk about him, but there's so much more to dive into. So
good.
That's what this is all about, right?
Good. I love hearing that, man. Is Jalen Waddle the most explosive player at the wide receiver position in this year's draft? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to argue in terms of like just one year. If you just term in terms of the eye test, sure, maybe that's probably the case. I mean, in terms of actual short area burst, maybe it's actually perhaps still Rondale Moore. I think a lot of people don't see that when they break down his profile, because they see, oh, he's got a super low average depth of target. He can't do all this stuff. But, you know, it turns out he's like the fastest wide receiver in the class. So maybe not. I think Rondale Moore might be right there up with him. And obviously Devontae Smith might be right there up with him as well. But, yeah, he's certainly in the conversation, certainly top three or four and really, in many people's eyes, the most explosive wide receiver.
So I want to talk about Waddle's body of work. So his season ended prematurely after suffering an ankle injury in October of last season. But it didn't stop him from leaving a huge mark, maybe even a calling card that he was going to have one hell of a season. In his four games leading up to his injury, Waddle totaled 25 catches for 557 receiving yards and four touchdowns. My question is, obviously, that's not a large body of work. It's an impressive four games, but it's four games nonetheless. And you have to go back to his freshman season, oddly enough, when he's going with running out on the field with Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith, and Henry Ruggs to find a season with over 40 catches with just 45. Are you concerned at all between the injury and just kind of like fighting to get on the field with these big names, Jerry Jeudy, Ruggs? Are you concerned that you just maybe haven't seen enough to really know?
I mean, it sounds like a cop out, but yeah, I mean, that's definitely the case with Waddle. We just haven't really seen enough. Like, I think if you talk to a bunch of the analytics nerds, I mean, I count myself in that cohort. I'm one of those guys that, like, among my film friends, I'm an analytics nerd, and among my analytics friends, I'm a film nerd, but I'm really both. And so, we don't have a really huge sample of production. I mean, even like, and especially if you break it down, like per game career, like he's barely at 3 catches per game. And so it's not normal that we see like this consensus, top 15 overall NFL draft pick that doesn't have a nice production profile. It's really odd for a player to just be like this obvious slam dunk that is, you know, he barely had 100 receptions in 3 seasons.
Yep.
Yeah, and you take DeVonta Smith this last year, and he's like, he had over 100 this year. And so it's weird because we don't have much of a sample. And 2 of the seasons, he was not really garnering a ton of targets. He, you know, capped out at what, like 17% of the receiving yards in 2018, actually went down in 2019. Like, yep. It was like 13% of the offense there. But really, you know, depending on how you game adjust and what you actually count as games this year, if you squint, look really closely at that smaller sample size, he was like 29% of the offense through the air, and was super efficient in terms of like yards per team pass attempt. And that particular metric is one of the favorites among the analytics community, because you don't have to dress it up and do anything with it to make it sticky in terms of implied future NFL production. And so yards per team pass attempt, he was actually really high, like I think 80th percentile among in terms of his peak production among NFL prospects that we typically see that get drafted anyway. Sorry, that's a mouthful, but basically 80th percentile-ish prospect just by yards per team pass attempt, which is pretty much the stickiest metric that we have production-wise outside of like maybe breakout age or gear. For us super nerds that like to dig into our spreadsheets. But yeah, so just by the numbers, you have to squint. And if you do squint and you squint long enough, you look at and you're finding a player that kind of barely comes in above like the 60th percentile as far as like peak production goes, like across the board, if you want to look at it through 3 or 4 different lenses. And so, yeah, it's like, hey, if he hits this threshold and he gets day 2 capital at least, and he's going to get that, he falls in a cohort of wide receivers that we expect to hit. Now, maybe he's not a 90 plus reception wide receiver ever, but can he be a difference making deep threat and yak threat and kickoff return threat, like a la DeSean Jackson, to use another cliche comp that people have probably said too many times? Yes, I think he could have that kind of difference making ability because of his explosiveness, because of his speed. But I do hope that he's given the opportunity, and I'm, because he just never really proved it in a large sample outside of just 5 games this last year, that he could own a particularly large chunk of the offense and still succeed.
Well, Travis, some of my favorite people are film guys that aren't afraid of analytics. So I love anybody that combines the two. I've heard through a lot of these profiles, actually, people who have just basically said, hey, look, I'm a film watcher, but when the analytics match up with what I see on film, that's when the analytics are meaningful to me. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Let's put his explosiveness aside for a second. Let's stop putting him into this bucket that he is only a different version of Henry Ruggs or a different version of any speed guy you want to name. Tyreek Hill comes up a lot. Let's put that away for a minute. What does Waddle do other than being an explosive athlete very well that could make him successful in the NFL?
He's proven that on a kind of a smaller sample of the route tree that he can be a high yak per target guy.
Okay.
So he's not just like, hey, fake an in and go deep on a double move and Mac Jones drops it into a bucket because you've got 5 yards of separation because you're incredibly explosive. Like, just a deep threat, like he can take it on a simpler route, on a simpler read, on a shorter route as well. And if he really rounds it out and gets better at a diverse set of routes, where he could function as a fun modern slot wide receiver, What we saw, you know, Justin Jefferson, he did more than that, but you know, that's what he did in college. If he could do, if he could have the same kind of level of route diversity that we saw out of Justin Jefferson coming out and further in that way, and show elite separation on film, on more than just three or four routes, that could be what separates him. But the problem is sample size, we haven't seen it. So whether we're talking analytics from production or on film, you can pick out one rep or two reps or three reps on every kind of route that he may have had a win. But it's just, we're still working with a smaller sample. So it's a lot of projection with him. But that's where the NFL is okay at this point in this day and age, and always reaching for what could be, like, you know, just reaching for that player that has that wow throw at the pro day. You know, and they feel more justified in doing so because, hey, the potential was there. So if we miss, we knew that was a possibility already.
Right.
And that's how I feel like with Waddle. And that's why we have all these, all the same comps, because people, like, we're just projecting of what could be the upside, but not talking about what might also be the downside. And that could be a Ruggs, or that could be a Mecole Hardman, that even if he lands in a good opportunity, like, they just use what he's really good at already, rather than trying to expand upon and build upon what he could be and ask him to carry a significant target share. So I think the floor for him is a Mecole Hardman type outcome, where he's like the wide receiver on a team that is a wide receiver three. And he's asked to, hey, three, four times a game, we just need you to burn somebody. And you're going to have some fun best ball weeks for fantasy, and you're going to hate having him on your team for 12 weeks of the year. And I think that kind of player, like, that outcome isn't sexy, but it is probably in one of the larger percentage, you know, bins of outcomes for him. Like, that's probably what's going to happen, unless he's in a situation where he can have significant market share right away. And I don't even know how many opportunities there are like that in the NFL. So,
good point.
He could be Nelson Aguilar, or he could be Percy Harvin, or he could be Tyreek Hill. Or he could just, you know, he could completely disappear. Like, there's just so many outcomes for this kind of player. And that's what scares people, that they don't want to talk about it for too long. Cause I think a lot of people are all in, like in real draft circles, but in fantasy football stuff, people are just scared to talk about it, cause there's such a wide range of outcomes.
Yeah. We were talking before the show, how I was surprised somebody like Jaylen Waddle was available to you to choose from after we had done 20 plus of these rookie profiles, because a lot of the bigger names, and I would include Waddle in the bigger names, were taken quite early. And I think you're right. I think that's one of the reasons why. I mean, polarizing is a word, I suppose, but I guess what I would just say is kind of what you just said, which is you're almost nervous to talk about him, because, like,
yeah,
it feels like the only time you really talk about him is comparing him to Tyreek Hill. I mean, Najee Harris, his own teammate, used the same exact comparison on Twitter, saying it's the closest thing to Tyreek Hill you're going to see. Like, I mean, it's everywhere. There's no going around it. You actually mentioned that teams, NFL teams, might even reach for such a talent. What kind of draft capital do you believe NFL teams will actually spend for Jaylen Waddle?
I think if you look at any sports book anywhere, you'll find the evidence right there. It's like the over under, you know, there's no way he's going to get taken outside the top 20 picks.
Yeah.
And more than likely he's a top 15 pick, and he might just be a top 10 pick. And there's no one that I think is even implying that there's a possibility he's not a top three wide receiver in terms of draft capital invested from the NFL. Kind of like Henry Ruggs last year, he was like maybe the third or fourth favorite to actually be the first wide receiver taken. And that's probably where I would probably place the odds for him, like the third guy, you know. But, you know, last year I actually bet on Henry Ruggs being the first wide receiver taken, just because I got decent odds at one of the books, and it was like, hey, you know, I kind of did some leans here and there with some capital, and Henry Ruggs kind of like fixed two or three misses by himself. So I think that's what we're looking at with Waddle. Cause I mean, the only other guys that really have a shot are Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith.
Where is Travis May taking him in, let's do Superflex rookie drafts. Where are you taking him?
So this is why it's scary. Nobody wants to talk about it. Because like if I say it's too low, man, I'm just going to get dunked on by people just like, you know, going after me. But if I say it's too high and then he has like a year like Ruggs, people are like, whoa, what do you mean? You're an analytics guy. You had him ranked high. Like he was such an easy fade. Like, okay, bro.
I'm trying to remember where you guys took him on your pod. College to Canton podcast, that is.
Like with me and
just 3 weeks, which I like how you guys did it, by the way. That was clever with the whole like being able to challenge somebody's pick. That was a pretty cool twist. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that got that idea from Matt McCoy, who I actually had on just last week. He and I and Matt Hicks had a real draft mock where we did that, and it was like last October, and we were already mocking like the 2021 NFL draft, and it was a blast because we were just going after these guys and confidently drafting these guys in October of last year.
Yeah, right.
But
with even less information. All right, yeah. Travis, you have skirted the question long enough.
Okay,
taking him in super,
so he's a borderline first round pick.
Okay,
but he's like I probably like the 2.01-ish just outside the first for me in super flex leagues where you can, you know, have more than one starting quarterback just because of the value.
Yep.
In most leagues with two quarterbacks starting, there's not every year that he would probably be in a late first in most years, but with five quarterbacks that are going to be top 10 picks.
Yeah.
Wowzers, man.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough to fade the quarterback in Superflex for sure, especially with Waddle having, like you said, smaller sample size, some question marks. So what of all the question marks, and we did label an okay amount, is there another concern that you have about him entering the NFL? Is it his route tree? Is it his hands? Like, I mean, the one thing that I was noticing is that he's short. I think it was like 82% catch rate. I mean, I liked seeing that.
Yep.
That was nice. But is there something that concerns you beyond some of these things we already mentioned, or do you think we kind of covered your concerns for Waddle?
No, and I think it's really mostly just analytically the historical bins that he fits in and the metrics that he kind of almost checks within a small sample. If he hits, it will be kind of almost not necessarily like a three standard deviations type of typical outlier, but it won't be the prettiest fit. It won't make really much sense analytically speaking. But as far as passing the eye test, he's going to get the capital and he's probably going to be force fed some kind of opportunity. Let's hope it's more than Mecole Hardman.
Right.
But I think with the capital, the first round capital, some team's going to do it. And the Raiders last year with Ruggs, I don't think he's a complete miss. But again, we had evidence to suggest that he might not be able to garner the market share and lead an offense by himself. And he did struggle to do so. But, you know, it's the Raiders. They screw things up.
What's your best fit team-wise for Jalen Waddle?
I think it would be fun to see what he could do. If, actually Joe Burrow was tossing in the rock, like if Joe Burrow had him, I know a lot of people project Ja'Marr Chase to be the guy or them to go offensive tackle, but that would be a lot of fun. Like with him going with Joe Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa with the Dolphins going early first like that, you know, the team making an absolute statement of, hey, and either of those slots have the opportunity to be the first wide receiver taken off the board. And that kind of selection says, hey, we want to make this guy the centerpiece of our offense and build him around our young quarterback. And so either one of those situations would be a lot of fun. I think he could have the biggest chunk of market share opportunity with the Dolphins and Tua. Right. But I think a lot of people are of the mindset that Burrow is actually the superior passer at this point. However, he has, you know, some other targets that I believe in more so long-term there that might take it from him. Yeah. So I think the capital investment though, by either team in that slot would kind of put, any kind of analytical worries aside and just say, okay, the NFL believes, this team believes they're going to feed him targets. So either one of those spots would be fun.
I really want to see Pitts go to Cincinnati, actually.
Yeah.
I think that would be unbelievable. I actually see Waddle going to the Giants a lot in mocks. And I honestly feel like they kind of addressed the position in free agency by spending all that money.
Yeah.
They have a speedster on the outside in Slayton. Mm-hmm. And they're pretty happy with possession receiver they have in Shepard. Doesn't mean they can't add talent. I just don't think they'll add talent in the first round. Like that to me, and Waddle won't be there where they're gonna pick in the second. So for me, I really don't see the Giants as a landing spot. Let's assume that he hits that Miami landing spot that you liked for opportunity, because honestly, opportunity in year one is king. Realistic expectation from him year one in that landing spot. Just realistic.
Yeah, I think, and really year one, like even the guys that we were calling the wide receiver one and wide receiver two last year, you know, they barely hit 100 targets or didn't even hit 100 targets.
Yep.
And I think we always throw around these numbers like, oh yeah, he's going to be a 120 target guy. And then people realize, man, Chris Godwin didn't do that. And man, like Chris Godwin and Mike Evans just last year, they both barely had 120. Like I think having those kind of expectations, even for the first overall wide receiver taken, are too high. And when you look at the Dolphins and how they distribute the ball, especially to their primary wide receivers, like their lead guy barely had 100 targets last year. But I think, you know, you look at guys like AJ Brown who come in the league and they don't have to have a bunch of targets to succeed because they're efficient. They add yak, or they, in Jalen Waddle's case, he'll probably be functioning as a deeper threat for the team that didn't really have that to trust last year. I mean, even the guy who's supposed to be that, Devontae Parker, was like below 13 yards per reception. So he could be a guy that comes in and sees like 80-ish targets in year one, but still somehow finds a way to get to like the 600, 700 yard mark in first year. I think that kind of opportunity would be a good outcome for him. It wouldn't feel great for dynasty fantasy football owners, but that kind of rookie impact would imply a larger breakout in year two and would be a good sign for him.
Give me a scenario that between now and the end of the NFL draft could move him up rookie draft boards. What, whether it's a landing spot, whether it's, what are some, I guess he's not, again, we talked about the pro day being over. What's a scenario do you think that would go, all right, I had him slated at 201, 202, and I'm still going to keep him there, but you know what? People drafting are going to draft him sooner because of this.
I'm not sure that there's going to be anything that happens at this point, unless there's just some kind of monumental, huge up top of the board kind of trade that changes the landscape.
If you went to the Chargers and Herbert got to throw to him, I think Herbert is sexy and young enough where I think that landing spot could get just enough Twitter buzz to start bumping him up rookie draft. Do you think that that's like just a figment of my imagination, or can you kind of envision that maybe people get a little too carried away about that and start moving Waddle up rookie boards?
I could see that as a potential kind of hype outcome, but it's not like, you know, he doesn't have anyone to compete with for targets there still.
Plenty.
Yeah.
Plenty of competition, that's for sure.
So, you know, people always want the new hotness and they want to fade the old and busted, but that's not always smart, especially for year one kind of results.
How does Jalen Waddle rank against, and I try to do this with every single player, but against the 2020 wide receiver class of last year? Now, of course, this is just from a prospect standpoint. We can't mix in their NFL production. But just like if you were going to, you know, if Waddle would come out last year and we were to mix him in with the wide receivers that came out last year, where do you think about realistically he would have gone amongst those guys in rookie drafts?
There would have been at least four, I think, that would have been ahead of him. I think pre-draft, I think most people would have still had Judy and Lamb and Jefferson and even Rager ahead of him in many circles. I think beyond that, he would have been in that same tier as Ruggs. Like, hey, we don't know what to do with this guy. He's going to be an early second in Superflex formats last year. That kind of range, especially given how many good running backs there were this year. Because there's not as many this year.
All right. Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think that's fair because a lot of the names that are in that group, to be honest, they're they're not similar players, but like Ruggs, but they have enough question marks, and they had enough question marks going into the process where I could see that. So typically this is the part of the show where I ask for a player comp reaction. It's not a player comp. I hate asking people for comps anyway, and this is probably the most sensitive of all comps. But I found a comp that I thought was a little bit more realistic coming down off of Tyreek Hill. It could be a name you've heard often, so if it is, bear with me. But what do you think about like a faster version of Tyler Lockett?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate that.
Lockett took a while to come on too.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he was not like the feature build guy, but he had like 4.4 speed,
mm-hmm.
and Jalen's got that too. The difference, the hugest. Hugest, that's not a word. The biggest difference with Lockett is, you know, he just actually had really good final season metrics and really solid production. And that's where we get into the discussion as to, you know, like teammate score or adjusting for the fact that Tyler Lockett was, you know, sharing targets with Kansas State wide receivers. And he's, you know, Jalen Waddle sharing with three future first round wide receivers at Alabama. It's different.
Very,
very different. But at the same time, I could see that kind of thing. And maybe even like I think another player that comps in some of the tools that we have at RotoViz, that actually is one of the closest analytical comps to Lockett, T.Y. Hilton, somebody like that kind of outcome would be potentially possible as well. And again, T.Y. Hilton competing with Florida international wide receivers instead of Alabama wide receivers. So I wonder what it would have looked like had Jalen Waddle been at one of those schools competing with a bunch of, nobodies.
We're going to shift away from Jalen Waddle, and I'm going to move on to two 2021 rookie questions. So this is about the class in general, and that's how I'm going to get you out of here. Sure. Who's your guy in this year's draft? You're hanging your hat on him. It doesn't matter if he's an early pick. He could be a top five rookie pick. I don't care. But there's this, because honestly, after N'Keal Harry, there is no sure thing. So just tell me, who's your guy? Who's your sure thing? Who's somebody that you're just saying, if I have all the chips to push in on one player in this year's draft, this is my guy.
This is just not sexy at all, but it's been this way for a while. Like, I think looking ahead at how bad and how shallow and how tiny the running back class was going to be, or full of like super big slow guys, like just a bunch of guys that just don't make sense. And everyone's already on Najee because he's got the Alabama bump. So I'm just going to say, man, don't forget about Travis Etienne. Do not let him drop down your board, because I have seen him drop in real drafts and mock drafts. And when you look at size adjusted 40 speed in this class, he's a top two or three guy, and he's got the final season receiving yard market share of, you know, accounting for basically 15% of Clemson's offense. As they're like de facto wide receiver two-ish kind of guy, like this last year. And he came from this guy that had brick hands and turned himself into a wide receiver. And that's impressive, doing it in just a couple years' time and having great contact balance, excellent athleticism, top tier pedigree from coming out of a blue blood program. And man, he's going to get the capital too. So in a class that has a bunch of hard passes at the position, I would want somebody like that and wait and grab one of these fantastic wide receivers later. So Travis Etienne, definitely at the running back position, would be my dude. And then I'm all in on Elijah Moore. So, nice. Yeah.
Nice. We just put out a profile, Elijah Moore, and Jason D. Rienzo helped me with that over there at Debbie Watch. And we struggled for a good part of that show to just contain our excitement for this player. Yep. It just everything, like, you know, I have questions on here to literally pull out the negatives in players, and it seemed like every time we brought up a negative, there was another positive right behind it. It was a difficult task, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And if any wide receiver is going to be that guy that comes out of like, hey, he was actually the wide receiver 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 for most people, and then is Justin Jefferson, it's Elijah Moore.
Nice. So one guy that you won't touch, man, you're absolutely not going to touch this guy. In fact, it's a big part of the reason is he's just going to be overdrafted. Like, because other people like him way too much. He's just not off your list, but you for where they're probably going to go or their perceived value in a rookie draft, you're just fading him.
Oh, that's man, that's Kadarius Toney like times a thousand, man.
That poor like, guy.
Like so hard.
Like, and he's gonna go in the first round. I mean, it's almost consensus that he's gonna be a first round wide receiver. You don't think so?
Yeah, it's like cool spin move, bro. Like that's awesome, man. that's cool that after 4 years, the only thing you've learned to do, you'll actually never do in the pros. Congratulations, man. Awesome.
Oh, Travis, thank you so much. I could not have done this show without you. Please tell everyone where they can find you, your content, and anything else you have coming up that you want to promote. Please.
Sure. Well, I'm glad to join you, man. Just talking these rookies and bashing players that
only have spin moves.
Yeah, man. But yeah, definitely check out everything at RotoViz. The team over there has just been fire for so long, way before I was ever there. And just love the whole team. Just can't thank Curtis enough for the opportunity and Sean and Dave and all the other hardworking people. And even the new faces like Matt Spencer putting out great analytical work, especially even on Pro Day stuff and trends. But RotoViz, you can find my stuff there. RotoViz Radio and Blue Wire. You can find the College to Canton podcast. And the Rookie Guide, the second edition of the Rookie Guide for RotoViz stuff, Dynasty Command Center Rookie Guide is going to be coming out here soon. So our team's already kind of Slack chatting about how we're going to change things up and what's going to make that one different. So check that out here soon. But yeah, I used to write for way too many places and I tried to centralize. So most things RotoViz these days. But yeah, thanks again, man. This has been... It's been a blast.
Yeah, and you have a captive audience with that rookie guide for sure here on Rookie Fever. So make sure you guys check that out. Thanks again, Travis, and thank you to our listeners. This is the Rookie Fever podcast. Please do not forget to rate and review, and please, please, please do not forget to be awesome. I remember what you said about Debbie on our show. You said it's for like super nerds. Mm-hmm. Of Dynasty, you know, like so Dynasty is a bunch of nerds and then Debbie's like the super nerds.
You gotta be a special kind of weirdo to play in Debbie, and I'm the weirdoest of them all, maybe. Yeah, it's like cool spin move, bro.